It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champions on Baxter Street. My name is Roddy Nabulsi. I'm joined by Jake Roos and former Georgia coach, head coach Jim Donnan. We're going to be discussing a lot of signing day stuff. We got some good predictions, if you will, about how Georgia's going to finish tomorrow. We got to talk about some coaching things. So we got a lot to talk about in this show. We're going to probably talk about 45 minutes to an hour. First and foremost, though, we have to thank our sponsors. And I'm going to start right here with Champy's on Baxter because that's where we're at. And I want you guys to come in next week. Okay. Next weekend on the 17th is the three-year anniversary of Champy's. And they have this cool bottle that somebody made for them, one of their friends. It's a Champy's Fried Chicken three-year anniversary.
They going to fill that up for me next week?
I think it's going to be full of Pappy, and you can all come. No, I mean, you can swing by, and I'm sure it'll be full. They just brought it in like 20 minutes ago. I imagine it'll be full before the show's over, probably, knowing the guys here. So congratulations to Josh and Amy for three fantastic years in Athens, in which they have won the Reader's Choice Best Fried Chicken Award three times. So shout out to them for not only did they burst on the scene, but they've been incredibly successful, and you need to come out and try it. Best tamales you can get, best fried chicken you can get, hands down. So shout out to them. I want to thank 11 Live Sports. We're going to knock out a little TV thing for them here in a minute, but we are on their webpage. If you're watching this live, you're watching it on 11 Live Sports, go ahead and give them a little thumbs up. They're big sponsors of ours, of course. I want to thank Your Pie. Your Pie is the UGA alum-founded company. They have over 50 locations. You can swing by any of them, go in, and get a fantastic pizza. So if you've had your fried chicken from Champy's this week, swing by Your Pie. And we're very close to March 14th. I don't know if you guys know this, but on March 14th, 3-4, Pi Day, as they call it, Your Pie sells all of their pizzas for $3.14.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
what a great deal.
And it's a huge deal. I mean, they're the lines are out the door. But
so
I mean,
you're going to get 796.
I'm going to be eating Your Pie for about seven, eight days. So, yeah, keep that in mind. At all their locations, $3.14 for one of their $7 pizzas is phenomenal. I want to thank Founders Brewing. Thank you for the Dirty Bastard here and the All Day IPA. They also just introduced a new lager yesterday. I don't know if you saw that, if you were on their Facebook feed. I mean, their Twitter page.
I did not see that.
Yeah, so they've got a new one out. I think it's going to be a year-round thing. They do a lot of seasonal things, coaches, but this looks to be a year-round deal. So be sure to go ahead and follow Founders on Twitter, on their Facebook page, on social media. They keep you updated very well. And everybody I talk to just raves about being, you know, serving Founders in their restaurant. So if you're a restaurant owner or a bar owner and you do not have Founders, you are killing yourself. Get it in there. Don't be a moron. I want to thank 365 Game Day. They share our show. Good sponsors. That guy actually helped me today saying, hey, you have a Facebook issue that you need to fix. So shout out to the guys at 365 Game Day for taking care of us. Didn't need to do that, but he's a good guy. New father, too. So if you need your Georgia logo, you know, your Georgia, like the shirt Coach Don is wearing there or anything like that, swing by 365 Game Day and get the hookup. I want to thank Robert Wall out at Cable East in Statham. He sponsors our show for no good reason. He's just a good guy. And if you go to like the Bulldogs Battling for Breast Cancer golf tournament, I'm sure you'll probably see him out there. He does a lot of charity events. So thanks, Robert Wall. And, of course, we're a charity. I think he takes pity on us and sponsors the show. Finally, I have to talk about Athens Ford. And the reason I saved them for last – normally, anybody that watches the show knows I always speak about Athens Ford first because they're our biggest sponsor and they do the most for us. But I mentioned last week that they had some ridiculous February deals. And I said, look, you guys got to send me those because I was looking at them online and they were stupid. I mean, they were just – I was like, these – how are you going to make money on this? But they're going to do it. So I'm going to read over a couple of them real quick. You can get a 2018 Ford Focus – for $14,000.
Wow, brand new.
Yeah, brand new. So that's pretty legit. They're $7,000 off a 2018 Ford Fusion, which I told you that's what we drove out in Vegas. Love that Ford Fusion. You can get it for $7,000 off. And remember, everything you get from them has a lifetime powertrain warranty on it. So save that $7,000, and it should the powertrain should last you forever. On the Ford Escape, which I'm kind of looking for as a, you know, maybe a vehicle for the, all of us, the 2018 Ford Escape is now down to $18,345.
Oh, wow.
$18,000. Sub $20,000 for a Ford Escape, that's nuts. If you want one of those Ford Explorers, and who doesn't, sale price, it is $7,500 off of a 2018 Ford Explorer, or you can lease it for $399, 39 months for qualified buyers. Remember, it's all for qualified buyers. Don't come back to me and say, oh, Roddy said I could have that lease for $399, you know, and you've never paid your phone bill on time. No, that's not going to happen. Qualified buyers, you can get it for $399. The 2018 Ford F-150. $13,000 off.
You love that. You love that little Raptor.
I do love that Raptor. I love the I saw one the other day, the Raptor. I was behind it, and I had truck envy because my old GMC just does not compare. You can lease it for $369 a month, which is ridiculous, or $399. If you want the four-wheel drive version, you can get a two-wheel drive for $369 or a four-wheel drive for $399. Why wouldn't you do the four-wheel drive for $399? So, and, you know, if you want the 2017 Super Duty, those are $10,000 off. So, point being, the leases out there are ridiculous. You can there's three different vehicles you can get out there for under $399, and the prices on all their Fords are through the floor. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like the month of February, but shout out to Athens Ford for doing a wonderful deal on February for people that need a new, or I'm sure they can take care of you if you need a used vehicle as well, you know. Pre-owned, and of course, if it's under 80,000 miles, even on a pre-owned, you can still get the lifetime powertrain warranty on it. So, it doesn't matter whose it is. So, they take care of you. They do wonderful work out there. So, big shout out to Athens Ford. Okay, to get started with the show,
we need to get you on a Ford commercial, man.
I just did one.
You did?
Georgia Saturdays, Bill Ford Tough.
Yeah, exactly.
You did?
It's the only Athens Ford dealership, or it's only Ford dealership in Athens. So, people that say, "Oh, we're nearby," no. If you want to come to Athens for a Ford, that's the only dealership. Don't fall for anybody else. We need to do a little TV section here. We are going to take a quick pause, just a few seconds, so we have a clean break. And we are going to basically each of us is going to give you what to look for tomorrow on signing day. And 11 Live is going to run this later. So let's do a quick pause here. Everybody look at the camera and smile.
Let's fix that buzz.
Yeah, we'll fix that buzz. First, let's see if we can is that you or me?
I'm not sure. Is it me?
Come on.
Jake's messing. Jake ruins it forever.
Doesn't like to be on TV.
It's all those fillings I have.
Yeah. Let me turn these down just a hair and see if that'll fix it a little bit. All right. Let's have a quick break. I'm Roddy DeBulsey for 11 Live Sports, and I want to thank you for tuning in to catch us. I'm joined by Coach Jim Donnan and Jake Roos. We are going to give you what to look for tomorrow on signing day when it comes to the University of Georgia. We lead with the best man to answer this question, former Georgia head coach Jim Donnan. Jim, what are you looking for tomorrow when Georgia has its second part of its signing day?
Well, one of the big things being able to be on the show with you two guys is you got all the info. So all I'm going to do is tee you up like I used to learn in television. There's no question that Kirby Smart is G-A-T-A, get after their ankles in the recruiting wars up to this date. But tomorrow he's going to continue on up the torso and get after their
Yeah, for me, when I'm talking about signing day for Georgia, the big thing I'm looking for is two possible flips. And you're talking about in-state players, top 100 guys, Otis Reese and Quay Walker. We're going to have full coverage of that at UGASports.com. But if Georgia is able to flip two of those guys away from Alabama and Michigan, huge, huge finish to this class for Kirby Smart, no doubt.
And it's a ridiculous class to begin with. Remember, on December 22nd, they signed 20 players. Seven of those guys were five stars. The most five stars Georgia had ever signed in 1 year was three. They did seven, which tied Alabama for the most ever in the SEC. But tomorrow they could add one more in Tyson Campbell, a five-star cornerback. I can't remember the last time Georgia signed a five-star cornerback. It's been a while. Heck, maybe Champ Bailey?
Yeah, that's it's been a while.
I'm sure there's been.
Sure.
But point being, they could add an eighth five-star player to this class tomorrow when Tyson Campbell announces on ESPN. We will have full coverage for you, like I said, here at UGASports.com, but also for the possible flips that Georgia could get, those will also be here on 11 Live Sports, so be sure to tune in there. But this class, as Coach John said, already with the 20 that you have, is very likely the number one class in the nation. They could finish tomorrow with the number one class, not only in the nation, but possibly of all time. And with that, we will move on to the rest of it. Those three things we're looking for. So sure. If anybody was watching the first part of the show and they sat through my commercial, then they're like, hey, well, now I'm done. I'm good. I don't have to worry about the rest of the way. But
now for the normal part. Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you point out the fact that Georgia's got five spots left, and we kind of mentioned this, and things have changed since
three.
Last week.
We got three.
Three spots left. They have
two committed that are going to sign.
Right. So, and that brings up a question. You know, we've seen kind of the tide shift from where we were last week. Coach, give me how you think this class is going to finish out. Like you said, there's two guys committed.
Stronger than Ajax. Stronger than Bridge Cable. Stronger than three rows of wild onions. I mean, seriously, stronger than Aunt Mary's breath. I mean, everything as strong as can be, but I'm just telling you, the last 3 weeks after the game, I mean, our staff's just been on a tremendous roll going out to see high school juniors, sophomores, all around the country scouting, but also putting a hammer down on these guys that hopefully we'll be able to flip tomorrow. And I think an in-state player has got to really look hard at leaving this group of guys. I mean, you got two really good players in Walker and Reese that have committed to other places, but so did Anderson, so did Cox.
Sure.
But he was able, and the staff was able to flip him back. And then you add the fact that hopefully Tyson Campbell comes in. And everybody talks about what about Bush, what about Sandridge, what about all these other things. But, you know, you just got to list your priorities and then see what happens. And but we're definitely tight, and it's going to be a situation where somebody wants to come to Georgia might not be able to do that. But the one thing that I would – challenge everybody to understand that Kirby Smart has on his shoulders here. He has a tremendous responsibility to these players and these coaches that coached them in high school as far as recruiting them, but he also has the burden of the Georgia program, which in the end result, he's got that best interest. So sometimes guys get left out and don't get scholarships and things like that, but you know, he's got to pull the cord on that, and that's what happens sometime, and it's a tough deal. But I'm just so happy for the hard work and the fruits of the labor, and it really not a lot up for grabs here tomorrow except, you know, those two guys if they flip and holding on the camel as far as I'm concerned. How about you?
Now, Coach, I wanted to ask you, you know, this is the first year, obviously, we had the early signing day. This is the first ever, obviously not an experience that you got to go through. How beneficial do you think it's been for these guys to – put all that hay in the barn back in December and then be able to focus on these last five or six guys and really pour into those guys?
Yeah, I got a little mixed emotion about that for two reasons. First of all, you know, you had to coach them up, your team, and get ready for bowl game. And for our situation, two extra games, you know what I mean? So you didn't get to spend quite as much time on the road as you might would have, but hey, that's a good problem to have. And the other thing is having these kids in for official visits during the season, which you're not used to doing. You're used to playing a game on Saturday night, going home and relaxing a little bit, but now you got recruits there, you got to eat breakfast with them the next day, you know, really change the table on getting after it. So it looks good as far as what's happened as far as the early signing, but it does change the dynamics of it. But what I really like about it, having mixed emotion, is the ability. You know, a few years ago they passed a rule that the head coach couldn't go on the road after signing date because coaches like Kirby and Nick and myself that like to go out in the spring and go get these – see these juniors and all, they say you can't do that because some of the coaches didn't want to do it. So what it helps is a guy like Kirby, he can get that Kirby copter, he can get in a plane, he can go a lot of places and see these juniors that he would never be able to go see because we've already got these 20 in the bank, and he and the staff have just worked extremely hard hammering on the ones that you mentioned. And at the same time, it's pretty impressive for Reese or Walker for your whole defensive staff and for your head coach to walk in there together. You know, that's hard to do when you're recruiting 25 or 30 guys.
Right.
But I think that we were able to get that – build that trust up a little bit, particularly in the case of Walker, who lost his head recruiter. Ansley went out to the pros at Oakland. You know, he was the lead guy, and also Pruitt was the lead guy for him at Alabama. He lost both those guys. And so all of a sudden we got a new guy in on him, and we also got our whole defensive staff going in there, and I think that made a little imprint on him. Plus, the G is powerful.
You're right.
Absolutely.
I got to say it every week.
No doubt.
When it gets down to it and you walk down the hall, and this is what I tell every kid that it's up in the air down to the last second. I told Marcus Stroud, I told everybody that was really a difference maker that we ever got here, besides giving them a Ford F-150. this thing right here, when you walk down the hall of your school and everybody asks you, what are you thinking about? The one that makes everybody the happiest is you say it's Georgia, because those are people you grew up with. Those are coaches that have been with you through little league and high school and all, and they want to follow you, and they're going to back you, but it's going to make them pretty happy if you go to that school. And you start talking to them about this. If you just look in this, walk down the hall, how many Michigan hats, Otis, do you see down there at that school? And I mean, do you see any besides the ones you've given them? I mean, how many? So it gets down to all that. It keeps hitting home there at the end, and it's tough to leave when you got a it's easier if you're not winning, but if you're winning on the level we're – I mean, it's hard to miss out on the opportunity. It's an opportunity of a lifetime to play for this team right now.
Yeah, absolutely. For these in-state guys, I couldn't agree with you more. And one of the things that I think people need to keep in mind is, you know, the job that Georgia's done. You referenced the staff and what they've been able to do with Quay Walker. It needs to be. I put this yesterday in the war room. It's not scoop, so I don't feel bad bringing it back here. But
don't give away our war room stuff.
But this was the first.
Well, you gave it away yesterday. You said it's not going to be behind the wall for 2 hours.
That, yeah.
Well, that was a hot boy. we had so much inside stuff yesterday. We didn't know what to do with it.
You're the Monty Hall of dealers, man. They got so many deals out there. Hey, for 99 cents, you can set yourself on fire and be on this deal. Hey, but I like it. I'm telling you, anybody that doesn't go on your board is really missing out on a lot of scam, a lot of scoops.
Scam. Thanks, Coach.
You know what I mean?
I appreciate it.
You got good scoop, man.
Yeah, we do. We had some last night.
I mean, if I would have been looking at that when I was coaching, I'd have driven myself nuts. The way people break me down and all, I mean, all I would – jeez.
But the thing about it is, you mentioned Quay Walker.
But what did you say in the war room?
In the war room, I mentioned, I went back and thought on the first interview I ever did with Quay, which was 2016. I went down and saw him. He had Martavius Bryant play in Macon. And he said, I love Georgia. There's no doubt about it. They're my leader. Kirby Smart. I love the vibe that he's put on this program. Some good compliments toward Kevin Shearer as well. But then there was a point in time where Georgia was out of contention for him. He gave a top five, no Georgia. We said, you know, I believe it was Trent who interviewed him and said, you know, where does Georgia fall in this? And he said, not even considering him, not talking to him right now. So for them to kind of bounce in between all of that and to come out, you know, looking strong heading into tomorrow, I think it shows a tremendous job by this staff. I think that Dan Lanning, you know, definitely owed some credit for the work he's done. Glenn Schumann has done a great job in that part of Georgia as well. I think that, you know, it just goes to show
Kirby's
these guys.
Kirby's got good cred down there, too. I mean, these coaches.
Sure.
Just like today, everybody, you know, what's Kirby Smart doing? He's at the high school. He's down at Macon eating lunch with those coaches that deal with. That they have every year.
Yeah,
I mean, you could be over there watching his kids play soccer this afternoon or something, but he's down there, you know, just they have their every deal every year. They have one on Tuesday. I used to go to it, but you can one up on people. A lot of people, coaches don't go to that. But I would say this, if I'm Nick Saban recruiting Quay Walker, if I'm Jim Harbaugh recruiting Otis Reese, last year at this time, I'm saying this, well, you need to look at Georgia, but hey, are they going to win? Are they going to win on the level that you want to win?
They lost to Vanderbilt. They lost to Tech.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's not negative recruiting, but they're going to – and
it is negative recruiting, but it's smart.
No, I'm saying it's not negative from a standpoint, hey, these guys are a bunch of jerks. I mean,
true,
it's reality type
exactly.
stuff. Yeah. It is negative, but the bottom line there that I want to point out is that in the last year, the cred increased on the field to go with what everybody else is talking about, the increase in the facilities, the commitment and all that. So now you don't have to say, hey, we're going to win. Well, coach, do you really think so? You're 8-5. Now, hey, we just played in the national championship. We got, you know, we got all these other guys come join us. So our ability to, and I think that's really what turned these two guys around.
Yeah,
to
you backed it up.
I can't disagree at all with that. It's the one consistent thing that we heard from recruits this past season in talking to them was guys were saying, look, I like the vibe, I like the players, I like the coaches, but is this Georgia of old or is this a new look? Are they going to be able to get over that hump?
Particularly Salyer.
He was one of them.
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields.
Yeah, Clemson was using that on them. And, you know, I think – if you're out there going and you're trying to beat somebody for an in-state player, you know, that's what you talk to them. Like I said on this program before, we always looked at schools that would be maybe in transition that year that might be losing somebody. Like when LSU, DiNardo was going down, we went down to LSU and got Demetric Evans, you know, that year because, you know, these guys are looking for a reason to leave the state because they don't even know who the coach is going to be. So I think that's not going to happen around Georgia anytime soon. But I'm just saying you go to those areas. And I think the other thing that enhances our recruiting is comparatively speaking, these last 2 weeks, we've been going to some areas of the country to look at kids and be in those schools that we would never have been before because we've been recruiting these 20 or 25 guys. But, you know, we had guys up in New York, up in – Tidewater. I know Kirby went up to West Virginia to see two good players that one of my high school coaches that I know that played for me said the people were just overwhelmed that Kirby Smart from University of Georgia came up there to see a kid at Spring Valley High School. I mean, come on.
That's awesome.
And they're doing – in doing that, they are expanding – they are continuing to expand what – they did this year, which was the beginning of building that national brand. You know, to go out and get into those high schools now, you're establishing yourself as, hey, look, we've got great players at Georgia, in the state of Georgia, but we also need a few guys from up here.
Yeah, and we're going to take the Georgia guys. But if you look at the success that SC had under Pete Carroll, the difference was he got the SC guys, the kids from California, but they had an unbelievable tour around the country picking up guys from Florida,
Texas.
I mean, to add to that great coaching they had and the players. And I think,
well, that's what Alabama's been doing.
Well, look at these guys that we're in on in Florida. I mean, you get a pro corner. Now, I hope he'll turn in to be as good as I watch him on tape. That's one of the good things about Huddle and your guys and watching all the – I never get to watch those. I just see a picture of a guy on who's signing. Well, he looks pretty good, but, you know, I don't see – but, you know, now you can study these guys like you guys do and do a great job. But, I mean, anybody's got 10 minutes this afternoon, put on Tyson Gamble and then go over there and say, hey, Mom, I'm going to go eat some champagne.
Well, I bring up 2 points that you reinforce. You talked about the coaching staff, what they were doing. We noticed that, I think, didn't the dead period start Sunday night?
Yes.
Or Sunday, Saturday night at midnight?
Yeah, it flips at midnight.
Kirby Smart was on the road up until 12 a.m. He was up there until midnight, down seeing Quay Walker.
Otis.
Otis Reese. Quay Walker was in town, so they had Quay being hosted here, you know, by the players, which you always point out is very important. Kirby's met with him. Then Kirby runs down to get coached.
Saturday night, he went down to the basketball game to watch Otis play.
Yeah. So he's doing that. And the fact that Georgia's in it, like you said, with Quay Walker, he lost not only his Alabama, you know, lead recruiters, but Jeremy Pruitt was big in it for him.
Absolutely.
He's to Tennessee. Pruitt's to Tennessee. Tennessee's a big player in all this. But
he lost his lead recruiter at Georgia.
That's what I'm saying. So you lose both of them. And the fact that you're able to, like you said, at one point, he's not looking at Georgia at all. They're not even in his top five. They're back into it. You know, there have been a few predictions in War Room about maybe him winding up at the University of Georgia, but you did it without your lead recruiter at Georgia.
Right.
to come back. And the same thing, there was a time when Brenton Cox, we could not get him to say the word Georgia. He was so committed to Ohio State. I mean, we couldn't get him in a photo of
to
Peach
stand
State
near
players.
People from Georgia.
We said, hey, let's get a photo together. We're going to have all the guys from the Peach State in there. And he's like, I'm not going to Georgia. I'm like, we know that, but you're from Georgia. We're trying to take a picture of all the Georgia guys at the Rivals camp. He wouldn't even be in it. We had to throw him in there.
Just all you got to say is two words. Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Hey, when that guy made the move, everybody got their attention because, I mean, we were in there tight with Salyer. We're in tight with all these guys. But getting back to the point about Quay Walker, I think the coaching influence has so much to do. You build those relationships and everything's up in the air. I think that's hurting Alabama because they don't have anybody that's really in there tight with him. And it's helping Tennessee because they picked up Pruitt and Shear. Two guys that were recruiting him for Alabama and Georgia, they were recruiting him for Tennessee. I think that's who we got to beat. I think Alabama, but I think we'll beat them just because of being in state. But again, it's just exciting to see where we are. But you know, but there's really not. I mean, it's kind of like watching, you know, some show. You know what's going to happen on it tomorrow. I mean, what's up for grabs?
Well, I guess the if you get Quay Walker and Otis Reese and Tyson Campbell, that's your three.
Yes.
Because you already have Tremel Walthor, defensive tackle, and Jordan Davis, the other defensive tackle. Those two are already committed. They have been. We know that Tremel Walthor's signing at 10:30 at Liberty High School.
Yes, yeah.
And he's a good player.
Yeah.
Because you're not hearing a whole lot about it, I mean, this guy's been set for Georgia. Put the tape on that guy. You'd take him in a New York minute.
Oh, no, Coach. What we're hearing from the people who are trying to still squeeze in Tommy Bush, the 6'5" wide receiver, and Rick Sandage, a top 50 defensive tackle. They're like, well, Tremel, maybe you just cut him free. And I'm like, look, at this point.
You can't do that.
You can't. Well, yeah, you can't do it. And plus, Liberty County, you don't want to cut anybody.
Yeah,
there.
No. I mean, my goodness.
That's not going to happen around here.
I think that it's a situation where, you know, with those guys being in there, they've long been committed. You want to talk about, you know, doing it the right way, what fans want out of these guys. Jordan Davis and Tremel Walthour.
How would you
Walthour,
like that to happen to one of your sons?
Well, Tremel Walthour and Jordan Davis, did you hear a peep about them going anywhere else? Did you hear a peep about them entertaining even anything
Not
else?
From them. I heard a little bit of a question about Jordan Davis, you know. But I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, I mean, leaving North Carolina is tough,
yeah,
you know. And come down to
Unless
Georgia.
You're Todd Gurley.
But Georgia's had – that was my response. Like, Georgia's had great success. For North Carolina guys to come down, Georgia could show them the whole locker room of, hey, see that big photo of the, you know, Todd Gurley up there? See all these other guys from North Carolina up there? And you know that it would not – you could have somebody like Keith Marshall call the kid and go, hey, I had a good time down there. You will too. So
there's a great example, again, we got to fill this show with facts, but – one of the things you always look for, besides its coaching staff changing all, is how's the teams in the state doing? Well, the state of North Carolina's got an inordinate amount of schools. I think 20-some schools playing four-year football. You know, on top of the Big Four there, then you've got UNC, Charlotte, Appalachian, East Carolina, all those schools. But the point when Clemson was really good and won the national championship, they had some really good players from North Carolina because Coach Dooley had stopped there and Dick Crum was coaching, and they went in there and got guys like Perry Tuttle and Clark, the good receiver. And the same things happened over the years when North Carolina and North Carolina State and Duke and Wake hadn't been very good. Teams have cherry-picked that state. Tennessee got some really good – they got the great quarterback that, you know, played for them. And you can get good players out of North Carolina. That's
what
we're doing.
They play great football there.
And, you know, we're in on Sandy. I mean, he's maybe looking at North Carolina, but, you know, South Carolina's a team he's looking at along with us. But I just think it's good to have those kind of connections. And you know, we got a good pipeline into North Carolina.
Well, that brings up a good point. We've seen this for the past, I guess it's January 9th. How many offers has Georgia put out for 2019, 2020, and 2021 kids?
Tons.
Georgia has moved way ahead into their recruiting. And granted, we see this all the time. And there's a 2019 potential commit on Wednesday.
Sure,
so
sure.
You'll tell everybody about that when I finish here. But just the fact that if you follow Georgia, if you follow UGA Sports on and come to our site, you will see lots of stories about 2019 and 2020 guys that have been offered. I think we've had three different guys in the last 10 days say that, you know, very highly coveted 2019 recruits, because, you know, come Thursday, all our focus is on 2019 kids.
Yeah.
We've already had three of them say, George is my leader, you know, and in the last 10 days. And we haven't even gotten to reach – we have not reached out to all of them. So
as good as our class is for 2018 – 2019 might be.
Tell us about the tight end that could pick Georgia.
So tomorrow, I believe it's at noon at Sports and Social down in Atlanta. 680 The Fan's going to be putting on a thing just like they did for the early signing day. Rylan Godey out of Kennesaw Mountain High School, four-star tight end, kid who's really just – I mean, Georgia's been in on him since the kid hit the scene, no doubt about it. You know, you're talking about 6'6", 6'7", you know, a perfect frame for it. And the big thing about Ryland is those deep connections he has. This is a kid who grew up with Dominic Blaylock and J.D. Bertrand, the three of them very, very tight. I asked Dominic during the Touchdown Club of Atlanta Awards if – you know, if it was going to be a tough pull, he suggested that it might, but I really don't think. I think it's been a done deal for a long time. I think that Ryland has been Georgia bound for a long time. I think that he's given due diligence to the other schools recruiting him, but he's a home state kid. He's got great friends coming, and I think he really believes in the direction of this program. One of the interesting things that's going to be, you know, how they sold him without I guess what appears to be a hole currently still at the tight end position for the coaching staff, but. I mean,
maybe that's true, but he doesn't have a coach. I mean, well, that might be true, but you got the head coach. But the thing about these guys at position, they don't really worry about that anymore. They really don't. I saw a picture that just blew my mind when they were talking about Nick Foles, you know, and what a great game he had. But I saw a picture of Michigan State's quarterbacks when he was there. He had – Nick Foles, and everybody knows he transferred down the road to Arizona. Kirk Cousins and Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
Wow.
And none of these guys beat out the guy who beat them out who didn't go pro. So they had four quarterbacks there of that kind of capability. And look what happened to them. Went to the pros. One of them just won the Super Bowl. And, you know, when you got – and they – you look at what D'Antonio's done up there. They got some real issues there now, but I mean, over the last 12 or 13 years, they've owned Michigan, they've owned you know, Big Ten in a lot of ways, and they've had some really good quarterbacks. I mean, they're gonna have two quarterbacks here in free agency, and Cousins and Foles. Good Lord, boy, they're gonna make some big money.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Absolutely.
Well, so I don't think you can get enough tight ends. I don't think you can get enough linebackers. I think Kirby's recruiting these defensive backs that can play receivers that can play defensive backs. We just gotta hone in now and get some big war daddy defensive tackles come in, you know, on top of these guys we got.
We've got and that's been one of the most prevalent questions we've been asked over at UGA Sports and also on the podcast as well. Where's the focus for 2019? Where do they move to next? Got to be defensive line. Period. Yep. In my mind. They've got to go out and find a couple more shutdown guys.
What I mean, I would say wide receiver, but they've already got two.
Yeah, you and they've got two real good ones.
So hey, tell them about that Jordan Hayes. I mean, come on.
Oh, man. In my opinion, they've got the guy who has a chance to be the next A.J. Green for this school. I think that he is that good. I think Jaden Hazelwood is that special of a player.
And Blaylock's the same, isn't he?
Blaylock's incredible as well.
Let me tell you a quick story, because you get to tell all the stories. I want to tell one finally.
Hey, tell it. It's your show.
I guess it was 3 years ago?
Yes, it was the 7-on-7,
I went to the 7-on-7 to cover Walton. Right. Is it Walton? What do you call it?
It was Walton.
But then there's something – it's Walton – not Academy. It's
– No, it's
George Walton Academy.
No, he's just at Walton High School.
Walton High School. Okay, so I get confused. So I go cover Walton, and they get this kid down there, and I wind up talking to the guy that raised him, his, you know, stepdad. And he's like, yeah, that's my son out there. I'm like, is that the kid I'm looking for? I'm looking for this kid named Dominic Blaylock. Like, he's like, yeah. I'm like, how old is he? He's like, well – and I don't even remember what he told me, but I said, so he's not in high school yet. He goes, no, he's a – playing with the team. He just finished eighth grade. And this is, well, the Corky Kell is in, what, June?
It was, yep.
So he had just graduated middle school in May. He's playing with the Corky Kell, I mean the Malta team, in the Corky Kell 7-on-7. As he has not stepped foot in the high school except, you know, like the weight room and working out with the players. He hasn't had a class yet. And for the day, and we saw a lot of talented players, that was my MVP for the entire day. He caught everything.
And mind you, I believe an Alabama committed Jake Fromm was playing that day. Yeah.
Now, that was even the following year.
Was that the
following
that?
Year, yeah. The following year.
I thought he played in both.
Now, yeah, well, I'm sure he probably did, but I didn't see him in that.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even think he made my top list. Fromm did if he was in that same day. But the following year when I was out there and Jake Fromm just lit it up. I mean, they lost one or two games in the early round and then took his team to the finals in just a ridiculous display of accuracy and grit and determination that – they should never have gotten as far as they did. So I knew Fromm was special that day. I came home raving about him, and people were like, oh, you're sipping the Kool-Aid. I'm like, no, this kid is ridiculously special.
Nah, you don't sip the Founders.
But Dominic Blaylock, as a non-high school kid, a rising ninth grader, out of all the fantastic talent that we saw at that Corky Kell 7-on-7, which is absolutely loaded, was the best player out there. And I think we're going to see a situation where everyone – looks at Jaden Hazelwood, which they should. Like you said, immediate five-star, number one wide receiver in the class.
I think he'll go wire to wire.
I don't see any wide receiver displacing him. The Rivals guys love him. They know he has ridiculous
potential.
He's
ranked number one.
So I can see a situation where Dominic is number two, might even get the five-star status. He's going to be this class's James Cook. We never talk about James Cook. James Cook is a five-star running back who has signed with Georgia. We have Zamir White, you know, coming in. He's already here on campus. James Cook is coming. And no one talks about the fact that you still have two five-star guys. Everyone's going to be looking at Jaden Hazelwood, but I think they're – and it sounds stupid to say, but they're sleeping on Dominic Blaylock because ridiculously
and
good.
We had a question about him the other day on UGA Sports, and it said, who would you compare him to? Who would you compare his game to? When I go in and watch his film, what I'm reminded of is if Mecole Hardman had been able to focus on the wide receiver position during high school.
And was 3 inches taller.
sure. But that's what I get. It's that kind of playmaking ability. It's that kind of shiftiness. Mecole was a quarterback in high school, played a little bit everywhere, but largely he was the best player on his team, so he played quarterback. Dominic's not in a situation where he's doing that, so he's able to focus on wide receiver. Has really developed his skills there, and I think is a guy who can be a game changer, just like we saw Hardman this year.
Let me ask you this. This is my take on the two, and I know it wasn't asked, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Because, again, the question was, you know, where does Georgia focus? And I think that if you didn't have those wide receivers already committed,
sure.
My first thought would be defensive linemen and wide receivers.
Absolutely.
But as coaches pointed out, Georgia really has to revamp its secondary. They've been doing that in the last class. There'll be a huge bump up this class, but they still need more five-star top-end cornerbacks. That's why they switched Webb over from wide receiver. We knew he's a fantastic wide receiver to cornerback. They need him. But I'll say this.
Well, here's the thing about it, too. You need three cover guys now, as much spread as you get. So,
that's a
good
point.
You just can't have two, so go ahead.
But when for kind of comparing and contrasting, to me, even though he was so young, Dominic Blaylock was one of the most polished wide receivers I've seen. It was just – it's almost as if he growing up with Hines Ward as a dad, just saying, look, this is, you're going to run these routes perfectly. You are going to do it, you know, just be absolutely polished. A very Chris Conley-esque. You know? So I'm going to do this by the book, textbook stuff. The stuff that Jaden Hazelwood does, which is just phenomenal, I think it's almost instinctive.
It is.
It's just
you can't teach it.
Gifted.
Yeah.
Naturally gifted. Like, I'm gifted to eat pies. I'm great at it. I can do it better than anybody.
You got the perfect build.
I'm just a pie-destroying son of a gun. There's no technique to it. It's just brute force. I'm great at it. But watching Hazelwood snatch balls out of the air, that wasn't technique. He just reached out and does it. So, really looking forward to the five-star camp that we'll have this summer. And we hopefully will see
where's
him.
Where's that, Miami?
I don't know where it's going to be yet.
We haven't released just yet.
Who
sets that up? Are you in charge of it?
Oh, no, they won't let me anywhere near that. Flying 100 kids in from around the country. Logistics. I can barely get this show started on time. They're not going to let me run a –
That's a good point.
Yeah,
so you guys running around doing interviews and stuff and watching them? Or?
Oh, yeah. We'll put the best against the best. It's very similar to the opening. We're going to take 100 kids, fly them in at our expense. Last year we did it in Indianapolis at the Colts facility. We took them out there. We had them go against each other. It was a phenomenal event. We had the best players in the nation there. We're the only recruiting service that does anything like that. But to get there, you have to go to one of our camps and show that you deserve it. And we don't – if you show up at the camp and you're a five-star guy and you got, you know, 35 offers, that doesn't mean you get to go. You have to do well at the camp. We've taken kids.
Well, a guy who comes to mind immediately is John Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
A guy who came in, he was a three-star at the time, uncommitted, had a couple of good offers, but, you know, was kind of being overlooked, came to that Atlanta camp, blew the place apart.
Yes.
We flew him up there. Now he finishes the year in the Rivals 250.
And I don't want to talk about the number of guys who showed up, you know, a five-star guy who didn't do anything for the camp and then, you know, was expecting the invitation. We didn't – like, look, you know, you didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So you have to earn it at the Rivals camps. And on this next week – this Saturday we'll be in Miami. We'll have our first camp there. Next weekend you and I will be in Orlando to cover the – on Saturday is the Combine. Anybody can come to that. We have all the latest metrics. We can get your 40, your height, weight, your shuttle, all this stuff that the coaches like to have. It's validated. It's authorized. I mean, validated and verified.
Is that invitation only or what?
No, that's open to everybody. The camp on the following day, that's a Saturday combine. The camp on the following day is invitational.
Yeah.
It's free. You didn't come to that. If you show out, if you do well at that camp, either on the spot or later on as we go through the entire roster of kids who showed up, we will give out about around 100 invitations to the Rivals 5-Star Challenge in the summer. That is a free trip. We fly them, like I said, to Indianapolis. We've done it to Baltimore. We've done it in Dallas. We've done it in Atlanta. We will fly them in, give them a ridiculous amount of Adidas gear, more shoes than they can fly. We have to give them bags to take all the stuff home.
Oh, sure.
So they wind up with an extra suitcase or, you know, backpack or whatever.
You're the bag man, eh?
Yeah. So they get all this gear, and then they get to test themselves, you know. When we had Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence and five-star from California.
Matt Corral.
Yeah, Matt Corral. We got those three five-star and a couple other guys going head-to-head-to-head in 7-on-7.
Yeah.
That's a fun time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that's
when you 7-on-7 is the biggest waste you can ever do. And the reason it is because you got guys running routes they don't know the plays. You got guys running coverage they don't know the play. Hey, the best indicator is one-on-one. Let's see them do – you get a guy out there, throw the ball one-on-one on the guy.
Oh, we do that all the time, too.
But 7-on-7 is – you know, they just do those little dump-off plays and all.
I like when everybody's covered and you hit the guy who would normally be running right into the middle linebacker.
But it's so non-football. I mean, you don't have a rush. I mean –
yeah, but you do have to get the ball off at a certain quick amount of time to call.
That's right.
But we do tons of one-on-one. We have the quarterback challenge where these guys go head-to-head for accuracy and speed. So it's lights out. But you have to earn your way into that. And it's not like – and I'm not going to mention the other guys that, hey, you're highly rated, here's your automatic invitation. That doesn't happen. You have to do it. And Rivals is the only one that goes to that expense and goes to all the trouble of having camps all over the nation. But April 15th. The reason I bring it up, April 15th will be the one in Atlanta. So, if that's the one you
need
to bookmark.
That's the day you pay your taxes.
Yeah.
By the way, we did mention, I wanted to say also, we talked about the need to revamp the defensive backfield next year. Jalen Perry is a guy that not a lot of people talk about for this 19 class. We focus a lot on these wide receivers and stuff. I got a chance to see this kid play last
tell
fall against
where he's from.
Winder. Dacula. Not exactly a hotbed.
Love me some Dacula. Remember those twins that went to Auburn from over there? I can't remember.
That escapes. That escapes me. It's been a while. I will say
20 years ago.
Who was the last? Who was the last guy from Dacula at Georgia? He was a fullback. Des Williams, that's right. It, you know,
Dave, I mean, the rave, man. He's
it's
strong.
Been just rolls it off. It's been a while
hey,
since
Dave,
the Cuba did that.
Who's only two schools to have three pros? All right, here we go. Who are the only two college teams to have three Super Bowl winning quarterbacks? No, it's only three different ones from two schools.
All right, we'll come
you
back.
Can't
to
look
Dave.
It
we'll
up.
Come back to Dave on that.
It's Alabama and Purdue.
Hey Alexa.
Hey Dave.
Joe Namath.
Hey, Dave. This is what we need to do. We need to have
Joe
a feature
Namath,
called
Bart
Hey Dave.
Starr, Ken Stabler. Then you had Purdue had Drew Brees, and one other one. Who was the other one?
I'm not real up on my Purdue quarterbacks.
No.
But, of course, Coach knows them all. That just kills me.
No, but Perry is a guy.
I like to hear these juniors. How about a confident group here? We're not even talking about who's going to sign tomorrow.
Well, if you looked at our hot board and the war room yesterday, you already know who's going to sign tomorrow.
So where do you think Sandage is going? South Carolina?
I think he's going to South Carolina, yeah.
What about Green?
I think Green is going to North Carolina, yeah.
Bush,
I believe, will probably end up at one of the Texas schools, either Baylor or Texas.
Or he could come here if something broke right.
I agree, yes. Yeah, he would be the – in my opinion, he's got first right of refusal. If somebody goes south, he's first guy.
Campbell, Reese, and Walker, dog.
That's what I project, yes.
All right.
That's think about that. Meant. That's a five-star, a Rivals 100 player, and another Rivals 100 player.
Yeah.
I think the one thing I don't like about this rating system – and I'm not a big Clemson fan, first of all, but I would say Clemson's recruiting's on a par with ours from the standpoint of the guys they got in their first five players. I mean, you got Henry, you got that defensive lineman from South Carolina, you got Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So three of the top 11, but they can only take 14, so their stars don't count up for
points. Well, that's a good point, though.
But if you just base it on the really good players that they got and the really good players that we got better than them,
here's how we adjust for that, Coach.
So if a school keeps players in school and doesn't lose any and only brings in 14 or 15, they're never going to be ranked in the top 10.
Well, we do it two ways. One, you can look at the average star ranking. So of the 14 guys you got, how highly are they ranked? We also, for a team that signs 20 versus a team that signs 18 versus one that signs 25, we only count the top 20.
All right.
Because most classes, we're like, look, you got 85 guys that can be on your roster. We're going to count 20 per year. So if you sign a two-star kicker or a punter like that, it's not going to kill your average or drop you down, that may be your biggest – the guy who contributes fastest and the most. I mean, Jake Camarda coming in, people go, oh, well, he's only a three-star. Well, there's not a lot of four-star and five-star kickers, which I don't think is fair. I think
they
should be
higher. But he's a five-star punter. He's kicking is going to get better.
But this is a guy who may determine Georgia's fate next year. So, but in when it comes to the team rankings, which are, again, just opinions, you know, he would not count if he's not high enough up on the board. So for the teams that fill in at the end, if you will, you know, fill in on a class, you're not punished by that. And if you can only sign 14, 15, or 16, all of your guys count up to 20. So
That's good. But I'm going to ask you a hypothetical here, you two gurus. The last 7 years, Alabama's ranked number one in the country based on all these things in recruiting. Mm-hmm. How many of those 7 years did they take less than 25 players?
God, I don't know. They've oversigned so many times.
But they can't oversign anymore.
Yeah, but
still, they take 25 every year.
Five of those, so they could.
Something's happening to some of these players. How can you take 25 every year?
Yeah. Well, I mean, every time right before – about – after these title games over or the playoffs are over at Alabama, you see there's short little press releases. I shouldn't say press release. They're short little stories from AL.com, from our TideSports.com. You know,
somebody's leaving,
and these
so
kids
consequently,
like,
this is our third class here, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Have all three been 25 guys?
The first one definitely was not. The first one was much shorter than that. Last year, I think that was Kirby's, obviously, the swing year where he came in late. So it was tough to fill that one. But otherwise, yeah, I believe they've been pretty full every time.
And he's had a good bit of attrition and transfer. So
yep.
So I think I would like for him to raise the number to maybe 95 on your total squad, you know, and to make it where maybe some guys might be able to stay a little longer, you know, sometimes.
Sure.
They see the handwriting on the wall and they leave.
That brings up a good question, and somebody mentioned it last week. I'm sorry I missed it, and I wish I could remember who asked it, but there was a proposal floated where kids could transfer and be immediately eligible.
Yeah, if a coach were to
First time I saw it, it wasn't even with the coach leaving.
Wow.
It said that you could just do it if you wanted to because, hey, coaches can do it. But now they're saying if your coach leaves.
But that was based on the fact that they were going to let you play four games and still red shirt. You know
what
I mean?
Is that what it's based on?
And then the other thing was that if your coach leaves, you can go – any place but where he goes and play immediately somewhere, which I think wouldn't be bad. But at the same time, you'd have complete chaos.
Yeah, absolutely.
But and
it's like a,
my first thought
was, I got to tell my one joke. I had this one guy that played for me at Marshall. It was a good kid. I mean, he was really good kid. And we were getting ready for the playoffs, and I told everybody they could hang around Huntington but couldn't leave. It was over Thanksgiving weekend. I said, "What'd you do, Ricky?" He said, "Well, I went out to the mall." You know, we had this mall close to there. And I said, "How was it?" He said, "Coach, it was chaos with a capital K."
One of these days, I'm going to learn not to drink while Coach does jokes.
So you would have chaos with a capital K if his kids started being able to transfer, wouldn't you?
He would. You know, and my first thought is, oh, I don't want to see that, because then from a completely, to be honest, personal standpoint, Ed Ogeron's leaving Louisiana. Now let me find all my old phone numbers for every kid that went to LSU, call them up and see if they're thinking about transferring to Georgia. And
you can do it. You got
to
get
– I don't want to.
I need a raise.
I don't
when
want
that
to
happens.
Do it. But then I thought about it. I'm like, you know, but it is fair.
It is. You know? I'm a proponent of it.
The whole idea of a kid saying, hey, I'm, you know, a regular student can switch schools, and, you know, there's big deal.
And, you know, the thing
and
about
coaches
it,
can flip, and it's not a big deal.
People make it sound like, you know, commit to the school, not the coach. That's just not – that's never really been the case. A lot of guys do it. A lot of guys commit to the school. But there are a ton of guys and just as many guys who want to play for a specific guy because they believe that he can develop them in a certain way. They believe in his values. So, yeah, I think that's a moot point to say, oh, just
commit. Let me ask you this. Is anybody out there on our Facebook Live, 11 Alive here, with all these sponsors and everything, has anybody ever gone to work for somebody and not known who their boss was?
Right.
Pretty who is your boss? That means a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, what is it?
I did that. But.
I mean, you went. Did you take him on the fly?
He was already there.
I was here, and then he showed up.
When they handed me the site, and then at first I heard, well, I'm going to continue being a teacher. Okay. That kind of stinks, but okay, I'll find.
Well, I'm glad
continue
you stuck
part-time,
it out.
And I'll have to find a recruiting writer. So I'm making calls, and then I wind up speaking to him about his part-time role. He's like, what do you mean part-time role? I quit my job. I'm supposed to be working for you. I'm like, okay, good to know. Yeah. I mean, I was in a parking lot of a hospital, and I'm like, oh, so I do have a recruiting writer. I didn't even know this. This job's better than I thought. So,
hey.
But, yeah, he took
– yes, what job?
But at the same time, you know, his boss left. He probably should have gone with him, and we would have been happier.
Well, I'm glad both of you stuck it out.
But, no, to your point, we always – commit to the school. I see – that makes a lot of sense.
I love that. It's a nice thought.
And like you mentioned last week, Coach, you always ask a kid, hey, if football didn't work out for you, would you be happy at this school? And I think that is an integral part of the decision.
Yeah, where would you go to school if you weren't playing football? And when you look at being a football player, things aren't going to be good all the time. Where would you feel good if, you know, can you adjust to that? And it's just so many things that I would say, too. But there's got to be – conversely, when you put your name on, sign your name to something, that's a contract. That school is saying to you, they're going to give you an education and stick with you come heck or high water. And if you're not a good player, that's not your fault, but you're going to get a free education. So school's sticking by you no matter what. You need to stick by the school. I mean, that's just the way it is.
So to me, the idea of saying, hey, you can go wherever you want, play somewhere else immediately, the chaos that it entails, I just don't – see that it's worth it. Although I think it's fair, but as Coach said, you know, the school's paying your way, the coach leaves, that's his thing, but it's got to be bigger than the institution. But you're right, guys do make decisions based on who their coaches are going to be, who their bosses are going to be, who's going to develop them. I always go back to Lorenzo Carter. When everyone said this guy's going to Alabama, he's going to Alabama, going to Alabama, having spoken to Lorenzo Carter countless times, I'm like, there's no way he goes to Alabama. His personality does not fit Nick Saban's personality. Those two will never jive, you know. And sure enough, he winds up coming to Georgia. Shout out to Lorenzo Carter, by the way. Davin Bellamy, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, Javon Wims, Dominic Sanders. There are 12 different. Isaiah Wynn, who might go in the first round. 12 different Georgia players have been invited to the NFL Combine.
Impressive. What did we have one last year?
Yeah, you had Isaiah McKenzie. So
yeah, we had from one drafted in the fourth round last year in Tennessee. He's talking about all these players. Kirby got him. Hey, well, you, how about all these guys you got drafted? But
yeah, and real
41
quick,
to nothing.
Yeah. We keep seeing this, and we're actually going to do a story about it. Everyone keeps saying, well, Georgia lost 31 seniors. They're going to be terrible next year.
15 walk-ons, though.
Thank you. So we had 16.
And nothing wrong with walk-ons, but I'm saying, and those walk-ons helped us.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give a shout out to one of them that personally I got a good feel for because I've seen him grow up. You know, from the standpoint of where he was a long time ago, John Corson, Ron Corson, and Eileen Corson, trainer and the mother of him, and John was a walk-on here. He did a really good job being a snapper. He didn't really get to play much. But he's getting ready to graduate. He just made the Presidential Scholar Award, which means you have a 4.0.
Wow.
He's getting ready to go to med school. And what a great representative of the University of Georgia football team, because he was on the team. He wanted to be there. He was a good member. And there's a lot of guys like that that the fans don't hear a lot about.
Correct.
That make the program to go out there every day and run the other team's plays and do everything and help you win. And they deserve a ring just like these other guys.
Absolutely. I mean, I've always wound up meeting a couple of the walk-ons and guys who went from walk-on to actual, you know, special teams or played some, you know. Right now, you've got a walk-on guy who's your backup center right now. So, hey.
I tell you what I like, too, the way we're going after these preferred walk-ons.
Yeah,
I looked at this kid that we got in. What's his name? Dowling? The quarterback is coming in.
Yeah, Matthew Downing. Yeah.
And Downing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's a good player. I mean, he can spin it.
He went to a rivals camp. It was named one of the top guys.
And he's going to come in here and, he might not get to play much, but he wants to come to Georgia, and he'll really help our team. I mean, and for Kirby to give him a preferred walk-on, just like Bennett last year, I mean, I can't wait to see Bennett in the spring game. I mean, everybody's going to jump up and say, what in the world's going on? guy's a player.
Well, Steve Burnett says, correction, Roddy, there were 10 UGA players, not 12.
Well, 10 or 12, who cares? It's like
good.
That guy said one time when he hit 12 passes on him, said, let him hit one more for an even dozen. 13.
Baker says, Dennis Wood says UGA signed 22 players in 2016, plus Mo Smith and J.R. Reed. So I appreciate that, Dennis.
Boy, I bet they're glad they called those guys.
That was last year's class?
No, the 2016 class, two classes ago. So it was 22, and then they signed the full allotment last year. Steve Burnett says the other quarterback Purdue is
Lynn Dawson.
Lynn Dawson.
Hey, how about Lynn Dawson smoked a cigarette at halftime of the first Super Bowl? I mean, seriously. I mean, get serious. I used to go out and watch a Chiefs practice when I coached at Missouri. Unbelievable. That, you know, Hank Stram walking around and everything. It was just unbelievable to see these guys. I mean, they didn't do anything. I mean, you talk about a walk-through. Their practice were a walk-through. They had Bobby Bell and all these Hall of Fame guys and, you know, Hank Stram walking around like a banty rooster. But Lynn Dawson over there smoking a cigarette at halftime.
How many coaches that you worked with or know of either smoked or did dip?
Smoked or dipped. There's a lot of them still dipping.
And I know that.
It's supposed to be a rule, no smoking, no tobacco. And some of these guys got dips in there during the games now. I mean, they got to have it. But
I just, as a percentage, how many? Because I imagine I would smoke.
I'd say a lot more prior to 1990 and all that.
Oh, sure.
But Parcells, he used to smoke. I mean, and the thing he would do, he'd always act like he was on a diet, you know. And his weight would fluctuate and everything. We had this girl named Goldie that worked up in the front, and Parcells would wear these sweat suits and all this stuff, and, you know, rubber jackets. And we'd be waiting for him to call Goldie about 2:15. Hey, Goldie, go out to Dairy Queen for me. She'd go to Dairy Queen, get him a sundae. I mean, he'd go all day not eating. That was chocolate. Yeah. And then he'd tell me, he'd say, hey, watch out about period 14. I'm going to start a fight with John Devlin. And I said, what do you mean? Should our defensive line not getting after it? I'm just going to make sure. He knows I'm going to start one. Devlin, you guys are terrible. Can't get anybody to rush the passer. And then Devlin goes over and charges him and everything. It was pretty funny.
See, that would make me smoke and drink.
So yeah, absolutely.
I'd have this whole champions bottle here full of liquor and be smoking. The stress you guys coaches go through is monumental. It should be a very interesting day tomorrow.
Yep.
Tune into 11alive sports.
What all we got? You got 11alive. Are you going to be on there?
Probably I'll do something for them, but they are going to tap into your coverage. You'll be at Otis Reese's.
I will be in Lee County, yep.
So 11alive sports will tap in there. Swing by, of course, go to my UGA
hey,
sports.
Make
we'll
sure
have updates
you answer these texts I'm going to be asking. But I just tell you, what a great job he did down there with Jackson, though. I mean, watching him come in there. I mean,
Thank you.
That was good. The camera work was good and everything. Pressure's on tomorrow now. Yeah. I mean, I like it. Where else are we going to have people?
We'll also have Dave and Patrick will be covering Quay Walker's event. We'll have someone at Rick Sanders' event.
Hey, do you have the bag ready?
Unmarked bills, Dave. Hey. Unmarked bills. We'll also have Tyson Campbell will be on ESPN.
What time is he signing?
10 o'clock.
Yep.
And then at Tommy Bush is at 12?
Something like that, yeah. Real close.
Who's a 2:30?
2:30 is
Mario?
Somebody, tight ends at a certain time, too, wasn't
and,
Ryland Godey is at 12:30.
So check out UGA Sports and 11alive Sports. Both of us will have it. But at noon, tune into 11alive Sports. They will have a live feed from the Battery at SunTrust
Park.
Where you can watch Ryland Godey.
Yep.
I keep wanting to call him Geode.
That's all right.
Ryland Godey will be making his announcement. West Blankenship will have that live, so you can watch the thing there. If he picks Georgia, we'll have a story right away at UGA Sports that you can read, maybe even a video
with him. What else we got?
Yeah, if you did not tune in yesterday, we have the hot board, which is where we say, hey, here's where we predict each guy to go.
Does that mean they're on fire?
Yes. Well, some are on fire, some are ice cold. And then we also have the war room, which is the stuff that we can't put out in public. It's just for our readers. It's stuff that, you know, we can't get someone to go on the record. Some of our sources, they say, look, you can tell me this, but you can't.
That'll be on there.
But you can't use my name. So, or we're just like, hey, here's what we're hearing, but no one's going to confirm it. Very similar last night. We put up yet another coaching update. Look for insider note.
Yeah, you guys got good stuff on coaches. I wish I could figure out what's going on.
Well, again, it's just what we're hearing, that we've had three names pop up, and we kind of let you know what we think Georgia's going to do with his final two coaching spots. I expect news on those within the week. I mean, I think they've been waiting until signing day. They'll get the hay in the barn, the rest of it, and then maybe we'll see an announcement on a 10th coach ninth coach and a 10th coach.
In all seriousness, another brilliant move by Kirby using Jonas Jennings on the road.
Oh, no doubt.
Mean, Jonas can't go on the road.
Why would you be in a hurry?
I mean, he's got tremendous feedback from what he's heard from these mamas and everybody else. So you got Jonas on the road full time. Why announce somebody?
No one who's met Jonas has disliked Jonas. I mean, that's a magnetic personality. So yeah, he's absolutely. He visited with Kirby when they went to see Rick Sanders.
Yes.
And Rick Sanders' mom actually filmed a good part of the visit. It was hilarious. But Jonas's booming voice and just the jokes he was cracking. It was worth the watch. So, good point, Jonas being on the road. You're not in a hurry to bring on that ninth or tenth coach when you got him out there. Let him help finish out the class, and then you announce what coaching changes you're going to have.
You talk about coaching. We had Booger McFarland playing, and Jonas had to play center against them because our center was out, one of the lucky boys. And it was down to the last play. If we could make a first down, you know, we were going to – So I got him over on the sideline. I said, Jonas, I want you to hold the dog out of him any way you can hold him. I said, left guard, you help. Right guard, you help. We're going to run a one-man route. And Champ, you just go anywhere you want to. And Quincy, just throw it up. Well, he held Booger. We got it off, and we won the game. I said, they're not going to call holding here on this. So, but great job. Jonas, one of the most athletic guys we ever had here, could have played defensive line, maybe tight end. He's a good athlete. Made a lot of money in pro ball. He did a good job.
He's a good guy and a big pickup by Kirby Smart. Anyway, that's all the time for this week's show. We're going to check out. Be sure to tune into UGA Sports tomorrow. Also check out 11live.com tomorrow. We will have a ton of information for signing day, and we will see you next week at noon.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.